I declare the meeting open at 5:30 PM. I welcome councillors, management, members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned to silent for the duration of the meeting. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council Business Team after the meeting. The agenda comprises 20 reports from management, 8 of which are confidential, and 4 items of general business. Apologies have been received from Councillors Sullivan and Watts. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 17 held on Tuesday the 28th of November? Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded Councillor Oak. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Any matters arising from the minutes of the previous open meeting? In that case, the following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's meeting procedures code. In relation to agenda item 6.2, planning application for 123 to 127 and 129 to 135 Bouverie Street in Carlton, items of correspondence from Ewan Ogilvie, the Carlton Residents Association, Stephanie Rennie and Daniel Susan. In relation to agenda item 6.3, planning application for Lady Huntingfield Children's Centre, 89 to 97 Haynes Street, North Melbourne, items of correspondence from Jim Wetherill, Oscar O'Brien, Imogen Elsom, Amy Le Palmer and Henry Kwan. In relation to agenda item 6.4, planning application for 2 to 50 Elizabeth Street and 2 to 12 Barrett Street, Kensington, the former Young Husband Wool Store, items of correspondence from Jonathan Hutchings from Allied Pinnacle, Danny Almagor from Impact Investment and Lisa Ingram. In relation to agenda item 6.7, proposed planning scheme amendment C320, 154 to 160 Leicester Street, Carlton, the former Corkman Irish Pub, items of correspondence from Warren Green from the Carlton Residents Association and Tracy Laws. In relation to agenda item 6.8, City of Melbourne submission to the Fisherman's Bend Draft Framework and Planning Controls Consultation, items of correspondence from Shane Scanlon, Laurie Fellows, Keith Sutherland, Johanna Maxwell from the Docklands Chamber of Commerce, Chris Thrum, Catherine Dawson from the Yarra's Edge Class Action Committee and Stephen Gresh. In relation to agenda item 6.11, confirmation of up to 2 councillors to accompany the Lord Mayor on the City of Melbourne's business mission to Osaka, Japan and Beijing, Tianjin, Wuxi and Suzhou, China in March of 2018, item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items 6.13 to 6.20? In that case, there are no reports from committee for consideration in the open session. There are 12 reports from management. The first is the records of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move the motion, please? Councillor Oak, seconded Councillor Riley. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.2 is planning permit from 123 to 127 and 129 to 135 Bouverie Street, Carlton. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item?
Lord Mayor, we have a conflict on this matter due to conflicting duties.
Thank you.
Lord Mayor, have conflicting duties with University of Melbourne, the applicant being my employer.
Thank you. Could I have a councillor move this, please? Councillor Leppert, is there a seconder? Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There's quite a few planning applications on the agenda tonight, and we don't normally consider them in council. So I thank all the submitters for their perseverance, and I would just like to put out a general note that all councillors have certainly read all of the written submissions that have come in. Not only from the applicant, but there are a couple of extensive objections from objectors, including the Carlton Residents Association and some parents of the childcare centre, which I do want to acknowledge they have certainly all been read. I'm not overly thrilled to support the application, even though the quality of design and the compliance with the scheme is obvious and certainly should be supported. I note that the subject site, as well as the site to the south, are all ultimately owned and therefore controlled by the University of Melbourne, and certainly councillors have been lobbied quite closely by parents of children at the childcare centre for very understandable reasons. The new tower is going to create a material change in conditions, including potential overshadowing of the back of that heritage property where the childcare centre currently exists. Of course, in the capital city zone and the built form controls that we have on that site, controversial though they were, there isn't the same expected level of amenity that you might find in the residential zone further away from a declared urban renewal area. I would, though, provide the university with some free advice that they could certainly have gone around consulting with parents in a lot more of a intelligent way than perhaps they have. That said, the application certainly fits with the land use controls that we have in the area. There are a few issues that our officers have diligently responded to ensure that the application meets our student housing policy. But on that basis, I'm happy to support it as it does comply.
Further contribution or debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.3 is the Lady Huntingfield Children's Centre from 89 to 97 Haynes Street, North Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, can I call on the council to move it, please? Councillor Rees, is it seconded? Councillor Leppard.
Lord Mayor, can I suggest to the mover a slightly amended resolution if he's happy to move it?
Could I ask the mover if he's happy with that?
Yes, I am, Lord Mayor.
Thank you.
And I'll second on that basis. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. So this has been a long, long journey to get to today, and it's certainly a journey that predates my time on council. So an acknowledgement to the undoubtedly hundreds, thousands of hours by City of Melbourne officers to get us to this point. Of course, this is something that is worthy of that investment of time because we're talking here about a children's centre. One that will now have an increased capacity from 58 to 106 children and an increase in staff from 18 to 35, as well as new maternal health facilities continued operating hours and so on. I would just draw councillors' attention to the new clause 11.2 in the recommendation, which makes clear that all of the recommendations stated in the arboricultural assessment will be taken into account. There was some concern that may not have been clear in the council report, but certainly as a councillor putting forward this recommendation, just want to make that very, very clear.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you to the mover for agreeing to adopt my suggestion here about the recommendations in the arboricultural assessment and report. We've had quite a few letters of objection from immediate residents, which are completely understandable. The first I realised that we were losing so many mature trees on site was on the weekend when I read the report for the first time. Of course, in this capacity here today, we're considering the report as the responsible authority assessing the planning application, but we did not endorse the planning application when those final designs had concluded their consultation period. I'd like to reinforce what the mover said about the incredible amount of work that has gone into this design work, and I thank officers for it. And of course, I wholeheartedly support what council, as the proponent, has done to renew this site and build even greater capacity for much-needed childcare in the area. I would just observe that some of these issues, particularly around tree removal, would certainly have been addressed if councillors as the proponent had endorsed the concept designs or the final designs prior to the planning application being made. I think that is usually the best practice. It's when we can deal with these issues with parents of children at the childcare centre or with residents in the immediate vicinity through proper consultation, because at this stage all we're meant to be doing is sitting in assessment of the application, and of course that's not always understood, not even just by the public, but sometimes by us as councillors. I certainly would have enjoyed the opportunity earlier to have a closer look at the designs, but we've only seen two pictures before the report came out on Friday, and so this is an attempt to remedy that situation. There are seven trees that should be kept, as I understand it, even though there's no statutory controls around retention or otherwise of those trees. There are statutory controls around the retention of the trees on the Exceptional Trees Register, but the other trees aren't discussed because there is no statutory reason to discuss them. And so part two undertakes to implement all of the recommendations in the arboricultural report. Basically, every tree that can and should be retained will be, and the motion asks that that position be explained to all objectors and all residents and tenants in the immediate vicinity. But again, it would have been good to see and approve those plans well before this period.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Rock.
I'd also like to acknowledge the submissions that we've received on this matter, and acknowledge that the additional point to this motion covers, maybe adequately to some objectors, but it certainly covers the recommendations in that full report with regard to the trees on site as well as the significant trees. But I want to also acknowledge the decision that we're making tonight is incredibly important to the local community now, in particular for the needs around childcare. And Councillor Rees is correct that a lot of thought has gone on into this, and I acknowledge in particular Linda Weatherson and Rob Adams in the discussions around how we manage the increased need for childcare in the community against a range of other community facility needs. And I think that a lot of great work went into the piece of work that has led to us making a decision like this tonight. So I'd like to acknowledge that work, and likewise I'd like to acknowledge the history of this site. It was the first council, I think, in the municipality, if not in the state, and whilst it's not necessarily dealt with in the decision that we're talking about tonight, but I draw the attention to whoever's in the design phase, and if there is information materials that are made at the site with information signs, or acknowledging the history is really important. And local luminaries of Ruth Crowe and Winston McCackie have got a great book on the history of this site, and I hope that a lot of that can be brought into the design of this space as well, as we not only acknowledge the great nature and trees and the outdoor play that this current facility provides, but also the history to the community is really important that we take forward to this future iteration that is incredibly important, and it is a very important decision that we're making tonight.
Further contribution to debate? Does the mover wish to conclude debate? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.4 is planning application for 2 to 50 Elizabeth Street and 2 to 12 Barrett Street, Kensington, the former Young Husband Wool Store. Would councillors like a presentation? Could I have a councillor move it? Councillor Rees.
And again, I'll move the alternative motion put up here as drafted by Councillor Lippitt.
Give councillors a chance to have a look at that. Does 11.2 go on from there? Thank you. Is there a seconder? Councillor Levitt. Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I should begin by saying that there is a tremendous amount to like about this development. The Young Husband Wool Store is undoubtedly one of the gems of Melbourne's industrial past, and Woods Bagot have done a terrific job as the architects repurposing and reimagining this building for a new millennium of workers. The building features mixed use, including office, restaurant, manufacturing, sales, all the sorts of activities which you would hope to see in an industrial area like this. And also, I think, given the imagination and excellence of this development, it truly has the potential to become an employment hub for the Kensington and Macaulay precinct. I'd also like to thank Impact Investment Group, who have done an outstanding job in leading this development. And in particular, I'd like to single out their proactive approach to community consultation, including off their own bat holding community consultation forums and proactively reaching out to the community. They are indeed a new breed of developer in the city of Melbourne, and let's hope that we see many others following the benchmark that they have set with the way they have approached this development. I should also draw councillors' attention to the second part of the recommendation on screen, which goes to 11.2. That is an acknowledgement by myself and Councillor Leppert of the fact that we are looking at changed traffic conditions in this part of the city. And with those changed conditions, we are particularly mindful that this is a part of Melbourne which does have a long industrial history. And it's also an area which mixes those industrial activities along with the activity of residents. It's of particular note to me that Allied Mills have been operating in the site immediately next door to the Young Husband Wool Store since 1888. They are a critical employer and industrial site in our city. They produce no less than 10% of the food consumed in Victoria by kilojoules, which is quite a boast. But as a result of that, they do have a lot of heavy vehicles coming in and out of their site each day. And that's something which I think needs to be looked at and managed carefully so that they can continue to run that important business in our city. I will also note that that commitment by the city and our traffic engineers is not just to look at industrial uses, but also notes that it is a local that there's a local road network involved there. It's used by residential and commercial purposes as well. But noting those particular points, I certainly commend this development and the recommendations to councillors.
Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you again to the mover for incorporating some of these suggestions. I know that the second one was especially for you, but it's good to collaborate on these things. I just like to say from the outset that this is one of, if not the finest planning application that I've got to consider since I was elected 5 years ago. The amount of work that's been undertaken by the applicant to repurpose this incredibly important and significant from a heritage perspective building is truly remarkable. I bore witness to and certainly have heard secondhand from a lot of residents in Kensington the extraordinary amount of voluntary community consultation that has gone into the development of the plans that were ultimately applied for here. This is, of course, just one of many stages of this overall development of the Young Husband precinct. It's the first that's required to kick off development, but there will be more to come. And I do know that the consultation on all of those stages has been quite remarkable in the sense that none of it was required under the Act. But the way that conversations have been held with all stakeholders, not just residents, is something that is truly wonderful to see. And I certainly hope we see a lot more of it in other areas in the future. As I said, this is the repurposing of a significant heritage building for new purposes. It's currently a creative and employment and a whole lot of other mixed uses hub. It's going to continue to be an employment hub and for a whole lot of other mixed uses, notably not residential. And certainly, as this is a buffer zone, the only area we describe in our municipal strategic statement as a buffer zone, I'm sure that Allied Mills and other would find that commercial uses as opposed to residential uses will end up being the sorts of neighbours that will have fewer complaints down the track, if I can put it that way. But certainly the rezoning of the land from industrial to commercial as part of the C190 amendment, which of course again was part of the Arden-Macaulay structure plan process, means that this site has been carefully considered for many years now. It was two councils ago that kicked off that structure planning process, but we've landed in a place here where we are respecting that this is a buffer zone between stable residential and the important industrial site with allied mills. And the rezoning by C190 certainly facilitates exactly the sort of development that's been applied for here. The two tweaks, the first is relatively innocuous. One of the recommendations from the heritage consultant was rejected on good grounds, I believe, by the planning applicant, planning delegate, I beg your pardon, regarding the ground floor openings, particularly along the rail corridor. Condition 1B talked about more detailed designs within the laneway in the middle of the precinct. This amendment extends the need for more detailed drawings all the way around all parts of the ground level. That is designed to ensure that a lot of care and thought goes into how the new openings from the ground floor to the area near the rail precinct are designed very carefully with regard to the heritage buildings, and I'm sure that the applicant is more than happy to take that on board. And Councillor Rees has explained the purpose of the second matter there. It's just a signal to everyone, including allied, including local residents, including the applicant, that of course the council will continue to consider stresses and demands on the local road network and review and undertake public processes, of course, to review that as necessary. That is properly, though, a separate statutory process. And whilst there are requests to roll it into the planning application consideration by council tonight, that would not be appropriate. These are separate statutory processes, and so it's been put up there in lights, but separately for that reason. But let me just close again by saying a massive congratulations to the applicant and the community for putting together what is a truly remarkable application, and I look forward to seeing the rejuvenation and restoration of the site.
Further contribution or debate? Councillor Lillieu.
I just want to commend Councillor Rees for 11.2 and someone who's living on the street currently that is undergoing massive development. I feel definitely for the, I guess, the industrial and also the residential mix of the traffic there. I'd be very interested to see the result of actually the independent traffic engineering road work and see what we can do.
Further contribution? Councillor Rook.
No, I'm conscious that we've got a long agenda, but this is a rather important decision. It's one of my favourite buildings in the whole municipality. It's beautiful. And, you know, the current users and occupants and tenants of the building are, you know, what make Kensington and that community what it is. And I really appreciate the effort that the applicants have gone to as far as possible. And I'm not sure, you know, obviously the outcome will be the outcome that we can't completely predict what it will be. But as far what I've observed and what I've heard and understood from current tenants and the community, that the engagement process has been second to none, and hopefully, you know, that the vision that we see before us that they'd like to see at the end of this will bring as many of the current tenants and the residents along with them. 11.2 I support. It's important, but a lot of those streets and roads around there are currently closed or one way or very much already have some sort of a treatment on them. So I'd be interested to see the result from this traffic survey. I'm not sure what else they can do other than close off the entire block. But I appreciate that it is certainly needing to be done. I go to this street most mornings, very early in the morning, and I love seeing the activity with all of the industry, with the businesses, with a lot of activity, with a lot of trucks. And I agree, you know, that certainly a consideration needs to be made. And so I support 11.2. But I, in particular, you know, wholeheartedly support 11.1 and look forward to see what it becomes in reality.
Further contribution or debate? Okay, so I'll make a very brief one. What a difference a couple of terms make. I remember the first time this came to us, we had to fill the Yarra room for our meeting because of the number of objectors and the heat in the debate. We're fairly used to submitters shouting at us. There's only a couple of times when they've shouted at each other. This was one of them. And so to have the heat go out of the debate to this extent, to me, is quite remarkable. Like previous speakers, I support 11.2, and I also support the provisions in here about protecting the buffer zone, particularly through the agency of change principles. They were the hot issues last time. It shouldn't be minimised that there are many B-double movements out of a necessary industrial site in what is certainly now a commercial rather than an industrial zone under C190, but its use needs to be protected and any future development needs to respect the fact that this is the pre-existing use. We apply that in all sorts of instances, and this is one that I think is particularly important. So with those safeguards, I'm happy to support this motion. So move if we wish to conclude debate. In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.5 is the planning application for the North Melbourne Recreation Reserve, 204 to 206 Arden Street. Would councillors like a presentation?
No, but Lord Mayor, unfortunately, I need to declare a conflict for this and the next two as well. This is they're both indirect. One's an employer, and this is for an applicable gift.
Thank you. Could I have a councillor move this, please? Councillor Rees, is it seconded? Councillor Lippitt, Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This, in summary, is an application by the North Melbourne Football Club for an extension to their existing facility. It's an extension of about 460 square metres of new floor area, part of a two-storey structure, which would be about 11 metres in height. In terms of what the use is for this new facility, well, it's to allow the North Melbourne Football Club women's football team and the North Melbourne Football Club Victorian Football League to use the premises, about 30 players and 20 coaching staff to train during the week and on weekends. And who doesn't love women's footy and local footy in this council? Turning to planning matters, there's a heritage overlay that applies to this site, but council is satisfied that the conditions there have been met, and noting in particular the removal of the existing lighting and scoreboard is considered to be acceptable given both non-original additions to the recreational reserve. I would also note that with this support, there are some amended conditions which include increasing the number of bicycle spaces at the site and some additional brick perforations to add visual interest to the development. Thanks for the design team for their input around that. But with those additional amended conditions, wholeheartedly support the recommendations in this agenda item.
Second, I wish to speak.
As do I, Lord Mayor.
Further contribution or debate? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.7 is the proposed planning scheme amendment C320, 154 to 160 Leicester Street, Carlton, the former Corkman Irish Pub.
Lord Mayor, I have a conflict on this due to employment at the University of Melbourne, which is immediately adjacent to this site.
Thank you. And I think Councillor Oreck declared her conflict earlier as well. Could I have a mover for this motion, please? Councillor Lippitt, seconded by Deputy Lord Mayor. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. To continue on in a theme, I'm going to support this in a ever so slightly cranky way. Certainly the quality of the application before us is quite high, but the way we've got here is incredibly disappointing. That's not the fault of the applicant and it's not the fault of the City of Melbourne, but it is very frustrating that after many, many, many months and a full statutory process for a planning scheme amendment to rezone this site to capital city zone, to introduce new built form controls and a development plan overlay. That was, of course, planning scheme amendment C173, that the planning minister let us go through that entire process while simultaneously changing the helicopter flight path development overlays for this and many other sites across the municipality and indeed Greater Melbourne, and never thought, or his advisors never thought, to reconcile the two issues and figure out that what we were. I'm on the next item. Thank you very much, Councillor Wood. I support this one too.
There's No helicopters here.
No helicopters here. The applicant for the next item's got a hint about what I'm about to say. I won't repeat it all when I do, Lord Mayor.
Yes, you will.
It's the last meeting of the year and I'm very tired and I apologise to everyone in the room. This is also an excellent, outstanding motion. The development controls for the site, which were introduced by the Planning Minister recently, let's see if I can have another go at him, expire at some point. Certainly we've been requested by the Planning Minister to look at controls that will supersede the temporary controls that are here. We're in a very interesting space at the moment with ongoing legal action, but the controls will expire, and so the initiative needs to be taken to introduce those new controls, or at least start the statutory process to have those new controls introduced. We're not considering a planning scheme amendment today. All we're doing is seeking authorisation from the Planning Minister to prepare and commence that. And so I support the motion and recommend its passage.
Thank you. It's not your fault. It's my fault.
So we were on the right one?
No. You were on the right one. I jumped one. So,
as I was saying,
isn't that a quote from Kevin Rudd?
It was.
May I suggest we stay on 6.7? My apologies, I jumped 6.6, where you would have been quite correct. We're talking about helicopters and belting the minister. At least half of that is relevant now as well. I'm going to take it that the councillor would have seconded 6.7 as I called, and I promise you I'll return to 6.6. Councillor Wood.
Yes,
what can you possibly add?
I always listen very closely to you and look at what's on screen, so I was following along perfectly. And good to see that Councillor Leppard is being so efficient in dealing with two items at once. I wholeheartedly support this one, of course, and I'm happy to see our officers commence work on the planning scheme amendment.
Is there a further contribution? Do we put that motion? All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Item 6.6, I think you'll find, is the ministerial planning referral from 700 Swanson Street and 114 to 152 Grattan Street, Carlton. And again, our two councillors have declared a conflict as a result of the employment of the University of Melbourne. Do I have a mover for this motion? Councillor Leppard. Councillor Wood seconding as the Deputy Lord Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And for the record, that was all Councillor Wood's fault.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
Sorry, Deputy Lord Mayor. So, yes, long story short, both planning scheme amendments were sitting with the Planning Minister at the same time, and at no time did he think to alert either the Department of Health that the Carlton Connect planning scheme amendment was going through, or the City of Melbourne, that the helicopter flight path planning scheme amendment was going through. And so at great expense to us and an enormous resource burden to our strategic planning branch, we led and facilitated the planning scheme amendment, resulting in the rezoning of the land and allowing of the Carlton Connect initiative. And of course, just moments after, I might be exaggerating slightly, new hard and fast height controls to facilitate helicopter flight paths to the Royal Melbourne were introduced, rendering the new controls for the Carlton Connect site to be no longer fit for purpose. That has seen a application here, which is a site-specific planning scheme amendment to basically keep the yield of the site but to push back on those setbacks so that the site can be a little bit squatter than it otherwise was before. Again, that's not the fault of the applicant. It's certainly the fault of the planning minister. But the quality of the design that we see here is generally quite high. There are various conditions that have been applied suggested by the way of the delegate in this report, which I certainly support. I think that the local community should be rightly frustrated with the way that this application has come before us. The reduced setbacks from the original design are something that is going to be very unpopular in some local quarters, and that is unfortunate. But the development right was created earlier with the initial planning scheme amendment process, and this will eventually be quite a remarkable innovation hub for the university and other stakeholders in the area. And so it certainly should be supported on that basis, just as we supported it last time. I have a few concerns about the student housing component, but certainly note its wholehearted support from many quarters. And despite my cranky frustrations about the actions of the Planning Minister, I certainly support the report before us today.
I agree. I think obviously it's not an ideal position to be in, and I think the setbacks were the issues that were probably most prominent, but the design quality is excellent. The through block links and the open space that's delivered as part of what is a high quality development, the materials that will be used, I think will be an excellent addition to this site, so I'm happy to support.
Further contribution? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Could we ask our councillors to return? I believe we're up to 6.8. Well, they may not be able to for this one either. No. Okay. Thank you. Item 6.8 is the City of Melbourne's submission to the Fisherman's Bend Draft Framework and Planning Controls Consultation. Would councillors like a presentation? Do I have a councillor mover, please? Councillor Rees seconded. Councillor Leppard, thank you. Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Can I begin by acknowledging the huge amount of work done by the Urban Planning and Strategy team in terms of this submission? We seem to be doing at least one a week of these sorts of big submissions at the moment, and I, along with many others on council, are acutely aware of the workload involved. Notwithstanding that, I'm very pleased to say that this is an outstanding submission, and have no hesitation in commending it to councillors. In short, the City of Melbourne is strongly supportive of the state government's vision for Fisherman's Bend, the creation of an employment precinct with 60,000 workers, the creation of new residential areas for Melbourne with 80,000 residents. This is a great step for a growing city like ours. As this submission skillfully puts the case, there are some reservations that the city has that the right mechanisms are not being put in place to deliver on that vision. For example, we welcome the Green Stars community tool, but we are concerned that the framework falls short of demonstrating how it will deliver on those sustainability aspirations. We also note the use of interim developer contributions to fund critical social and other infrastructure for Fisherman's Bend, but we remain to be convinced that that mechanism is actually going to deliver the funds that are needed to build that absolutely essential infrastructure, which is necessary for creating the sorts of communities that we aspire to in the world's most livable city. And then finally, I'll just single out as well the use of the floor aspect ratio and floor area uplift mechanism. We remain to be convinced that that under the current specifications, it will deliver the sort of built form that we would like to see in Fisherman's Bend in the residential areas. So having singled out those particular points, I commend the recommendations on the screen.
Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I agree and support the report and agree with the mover that it's a very good report and thank officers for it. It's a short but very punchy and effective report, I think. I also agree that the vision is something we can probably all agree with. The articulated vision for Fisherman's Bend is fine. In terms of its employment district in particular, I think it's laudable. But the problem is that the proposed controls, the draft controls that have been shared online now, simply won't deliver on that vision. And it won't do so in many, many ways, and it's quite clear. A few issues have already been addressed by Councillor Rees. A few others, though, are the lack of an articulation of a plan to deal with the flood risk, other than to require a 3-metre finished floor level on new buildings, The impact of that on the public realm is quite frightening to contemplate. I don't know that that's going to create a livable, walkable, amenable streetscape anywhere in the precinct, but it is what it is, and I think it needs to be pushed back on panel, and we will do our best to do that, or at least make that submission to the state government. Councillor Rees has also mentioned the FAR-FAU split. There's no requirement for the needed basic community, social, other infrastructure to be delivered within the floor area ratio. Providing mechanisms for it all within the floor area uplift will only result in the increase of populations and jobs above and beyond the baseline that presumably someone somewhere is planning for. Modelling that's been undertaken in this report, and of course there's going to be more modelling undertaken around built form, suggests that if all developers, for example, take up the opportunity to provide affordable housing, for which you get 8 private units for every 1 affordable housing unit, that could eventually result in an increase above and beyond the base case of about 50% in dwellings. Now, that is another 50% rise in population that hasn't been catered for in terms of planning for community and social infrastructure needs, and that is an oversight that must be addressed. It means that government cannot and will not be able to have a plan for the provision of all of that much-needed infrastructure. There's quite a mood at the moment for floor area uplift ratios. We're being encouraged to explore them in other parts of the city as well. I just note that in established areas, like the HODL grid, they are very suitable because we need to extract some sort of public benefit where we can in an area that tends not to have height controls. What we've got here, though, is an area without an existing residential population, except in small pockets in the east of the precinct in the city of Port Phillip. And so government simply must ensure that it is planning around what it believes the target population and number of jobs is to be. These controls simply will not deliver on that outcome, and so quite a few significant changes are going to need to be made. Otherwise, the vision, which again I agree with and I'm sure we all do, simply will not be realised.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Francis Gilley.
Just a comment about the transport link. I think there's been lots of debate and concern about it. I think the submission treats it really well. It's saying two things: that it is important. It's obviously crucially important. There's a public transport link to Fisherman Bend from the city, and so that must be there. But at the same time, that it should be designed to ensure ongoing use of the waterways for river traffic and marine operations. And I think it's balanced. Both things need to be balanced, and the submission, I think, covers that.
Further contribution, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I won't repeat the excellent contributions of my fellow councillors, but reinforce just that last comment from Councillor Francis Gilley in that we've got a commitment to early delivery of the tram into Fisherman's Bend, which is absolutely critical. Our submission notes that. But I think we've created a bit of undue anxiety in the community that have births there, because with the proposed or preferred route, the understanding is that most of the births won't actually be affected, and indeed that there's consideration of further berths downstream of that alignment that would cater for some of those super yachts who may not be able to get under the preferred alignment. So I think the Fisherman's Bend Task Force and the Minister would be advised to move a little bit more quickly on that. Just to touch on the developer contributions, I think our submission is quite strong there. We're not going to pay for public transport, and even sort of the larger open space contributions that are required through the developer contributions scheme that's currently recommended. So the government's going to have to put their hand in their pocket. They've demonstrated that they're willing to do that with the purchase of the General Motors site. So it's not something that's unlikely, but really to achieve a lot of the aspirations in the framework, there's going to be need to be significant government investment. Just a comment on the Green Star mandatory four-star as built is actually quite a big step forward because it's four-star as built, which hasn't been mandatory in the past. I agree we could always push that further, but I think it is actually encouraging to see four-star as built mandatory in the framework. Those sort of things can always be ratcheted up over time. Probably a bigger one, I won't touch on flooding and water management again, but probably one of the biggest ones for fishermen's Bend and realising the vision is the conflict essentially with a port that's mooted to grow by 5 to 8 times in terms of volume. And I don't think that that's something that's been adequately resolved to date and will have to be resolved if we're going to put 80,000 plus residents and you know, equal the amount of jobs into that precinct.
Further contribution or debate? Do we make a brief one on that case in order to pick up a point of the Deputy Lord Mayor and Councillor Francis Gillie in his capacity as Chair of our transport portfolio? We all agree the necessity of connecting Fisherman's Bend to the city. We understand the mistakes that were made in the early days of Docklands when that connection was not overt and early in construction. Point 23, I think, of the report picks that up, and Councillor Francis Gillie mentioned that the two pedestrian public transport bridges need resolution about their height, their form, their operability. It's not just about finding alternative berths, as the Deputy Lord Mayor said. That may be a solution for a small number of existing vessels, but we have spent probably the last 20 years trying to address our waterways, not alienate them. And one of my concerns would be that as they're presently designed, these bridges alienate that waterway rather than leave it open. But we cover that in our submission, and I think it's been well covered in contributions tonight. Does the mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.9 is the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program Reserve Quarterly Report. Would councillors like a presentation? Could I have a councillor move it, please? Deputy Lord Mayor, is it seconded? Councillor Rees, thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Just briefly, Lord Mayor, this is our quarterly report on the program reserve budget. It's in a healthy position at $61.81 million, which stands us in good stead for the project's net cost of $250 million. This lists the contributions and also the expenditure from that program reserve. A lot has happened, including gazettal of Planning Scheme Amendment C245, quite a bit of the early planning and also the business case for communication engagement activities, and we'll consider the trader support and trader support fund later. So this is, I'm happy to note the report as of the last quarter and note again that $61.81 million dollar in the reserve.
Councillor Rees.
I've nothing to add, Lord Mayor.
Further contribution or debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.10, could I move that this is deferred? Oh, no, I'm not going to move that. Apparently, Councillor Oak is going to. Are you happy to move that, Councillor?
Happy to move that.
I'm happy to second it. Do you wish to speak to it?
No, other than to say that given it's an obligation that we need to do, but we don't need it tonight to do it tonight. We need to do it in this financial year, and it's an important policy, and we've done some great work. And I acknowledge especially Fu and the work that he's done around a procurement policy, but I think we can decide at a later date exactly how that the public-facing policy reads to acknowledge the significant work we do internally in this matter.
Good. Nothing to add? Further contribution? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.11 is the confirmation of up to 2 councillors to accompany the Lord Mayor on City of Melbourne business mission to Osaka, Japan, Beijing, Tianjin, Wuxi, Suzhou in March of 2018. Would councillors like a presentation? I'm happy to move the motion that is on the screen. Have a seconder, please, Deputy Lord Mayor. We have made the commitment to travel to Japan and China every 2 years. I think we're now well over $1.4 billion in trade with Tianjin alone. The other cities offer considerable promise, and with each of them, we're well beyond the sort of exchange of business cards and protocol visits and into meaningful matching of business-to-business opportunities that come really from our hosts rather than us trying to foist it on them. Again, we take a small number of businesses but service them remarkably well both before the mission, during the mission and after the mission, and we're very happy to track the success of those Melbourne businesses in doing business in these cities. Deputy Lord Mayor.
I completely agree, Lord Mayor. I'll just make the comment, as you've said, small, targeted, and they get results.
Further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.12 is the 2017 Queen Victoria Market Annual Report. Would councillors like a presentation? Could I have a councillor move it, please? Deputy Lord Mayor, is it seconded? Councillor Rees, thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. This is an agreement that dates back to 2015 to release the annual report in open session for the Queen Victoria Market. $23 million in revenue for the year, 26.7 or thereabouts in expenses, a loss of $2.3 million, which isn't fantastic, but it is something that actually leads to the business case for the whole renewal, so speaks to that. There's been lots of wins, however. Throughout the year, the night market was extended by 5 weeks and was hugely successful again. And then some much smaller items, which you would expect from a much-loved icon like Queen Victoria Market. Upgrades to power supply, toilets, seating, all of these kind of basic things that are required for people to enjoy the amenity of that market. It is a going concern. It's an important note in the financial statements 1B. But we do have a letter of comfort from the City of Melbourne throughout the renewal process. There's been a big increase in focus on cost in the last three quarters, so I'm happy to note the annual report.
Just one point I noted when I was reflecting on the document today, and that is that it doesn't include any reference to the new CEO, and I just wonder if... because it covers a period... Okay. With that
thank you.
Misguided question, I have nothing further to add.
Further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the reports from management. Be considered in open session. There are four items of general business for consideration. I'm happy to move 7.1, 7.2 and 7.3, our post-travel reports by Councillor Oak, Councillor Louis and Councillor Liu en bloc. Seconded by the Deputy Lord Mayor. Could I thank our three councillors for representing us so remarkably well? Councillor Oak does this for us at COPS, at ICLEI, at C40, at CDP, and is now a well-established figure on the speaking circuit for each of those. I can attest from being at one of these with her how hard she works and how well-received she is. And again, Councillor Oak, if I could thank you for the work that you do on our behalf. Not just in the hard work you do, but the deep expertise that you bring, as well as the complete commitment that you bring to those issues. I always feel we're very well represented at these very senior fora when it's you representing us. Councillor Louis, thank you again for your representation of us in the global conference. Again, always useful, whether it's business partner cities or, you know, items to do with the Prosperous City portfolio. Represents us remarkably well, networks very, very well. And I think that, once again, you have done us proud. Councillor Liu, thank you again. It's not easy when you're a new councillor, you know, only a year into the job, to go to one of the big world economic summits like that in Hong Kong in November. But you represented us again extremely well, as your report shows. It's one of the reasons, given that your work there, that I was very keen, following your indication of interest, that you travel with us to Japan and China in March of next year, which I think will be a very nice complementary piece to the work that you did in Hong Kong in November. So could I thank all three of our councillors for their very professional representation of the Melbourne City Council. Deputy Lord Mayor, further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 7.4 is a notice of motion from Councillor Oak on the Women for Climate Mentorship Program in Oceania. Could I ask the Councillor to move the motion standing in her name?
So moved.
Is there a seconder? Councillor Lippert. Councillor Oak.
It is what it is, or is as it says. C40 is a network that we're a part of. Essentially, the Lord Mayor is the council representative at this forum. As he is not a woman, they asked me as the chair to explore the idea of a Women for Climate event in the Oceania area. I feel that it is important that we get council endorsement for me to pursue the idea, given the nature of the leadership role that we have at the C40 through the Lord Mayor. So it's important to get endorsement from council, also because Oceania includes Sydney and Auckland and other cities, and if I'm going to ask if they're interested to be involved, it's important to have your support. But I just want to point out that this is that I will report back in February and March to council and through the annual plan process whether I think it's viable, because I think it needs to, you know, be minimal resources or align with existing activities, and I will do that work between now and February or March to see whether it actually fits within what we're already wanting to do given our overloaded sustainability agenda.
Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I agree, and I want to thank Councillor Oak along the same lines that you did in the previous three on block items, Lord Mayor. These sort of opportunities can't be explored without the international standing of Councillor Oak and her ability to use those considerable networks across the country, but of course also throughout the various networks that we're members of in this policy space. So I wish her well and thank her for bringing this to us and notifying us of her intentions to explore these exciting opportunities.
Further contribution? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the items of general business to be considered. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, could I thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the open meeting closed at 6:26 p.m.